Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Garrett.
I'm Corey.
And we are in this new study in Philippians chapter 2, kind of applying our last study in the example of Jesus being humble. And we're talking about in verses 12 through 18, going to start this new study talking about us being humble and imitating that example that Christ has left for us. Today we're going to discuss chapter 2, verses 12 through 13 that says this: "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure."
Okay, so if you go back in the context here, verse 5, he said, "Have this mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." And then he explains what that mind of Christ that we need to have is in between here. But if you connect 5 and 12, you've kind of, I'm not saying we should take away from Scripture, but if you take away the section there about Jesus, then it's have this mind in you that Christ had. And then right into verse 12, in light of all this, work out your own salvation. I think sometimes about, and this is one of those verses we use a lot, work out your own salvation with, but we don't use it in the context in the way that that Paul was using here. We use it to just say that there's some things you got to do in order to be safe, and that's true. But in the context, he's not talking about being baptized. They've already been baptized. He's not talking about putting your faith in Jesus. They've already put their faith in Jesus. In context, he's talking about working out your problems with each other. We don't think of unity and getting along and putting others before self and not dividing and all those kinds of things as a salvation issue. But that's literally what Paul is doing here, is saying this is all a salvation issue. So work out your own salvation. How did Jesus do that? Well, he humbled himself. And that's how we're to work out our own salvation, is humble ourselves. Humble ourselves to let Jesus be Lord of our lives. Humble ourselves to put others before self like Jesus did. That's the only way we can be saved. And then he tells the reason why all that's important then in verse 13.
Yeah, I also think it gives more gravity to verses 10 and 11 with the talking about how that you can humble yourself or you will be humbled, in that, you know, if you don't do this, then you're going to be humbled by
with
the
fear
Lord.
And trembling.
Yeah. And that is going to be a day of fear and trembling. But he says you have the opportunity to make that decision for yourself and make it where you're on. For your own salvation's sake, this is the decision that you need to make. He says in verse 13, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." We are taking away from what God can do with us whenever we don't have the right attitude towards other people. And that's another thing that, you know, I don't think we place enough emphasis on. Sometimes when we think about our attitudes, it's just, well, this is just between me and him, and nobody else is affected, and nothing is really going to happen or whatever. But Paul takes it seriously enough to say, first of all, it's a salvation issue, and you're prohibiting God's will being done by acting like this toward each other.
Yeah, God is working in us, he says, but if we have a selfish attitude, then God cannot work through us, because our will is going to push his will out.
Yeah.
It did with Jesus. You know, the temptation that Satan gave him is, I'll give you all of this. And Jesus basically is saying, nope, we're not getting ahead of what God's doing. God is working all this out. Did with Paul, you know, put him in prison. Really? Your God don't care for you? He put you in prison? No, he recognized that even while I'm in prison, God is working in me. So when bad things happen, we need to let God do his providential will and put my will second and not blame God. But the bottom line is when Jesus comes back, it's what he does through us that will be all that matters. And if we are putting self before Jesus, that's not going to happen. But even if we're putting others before self, you're talking about it's just between me and you. Well, you think about like with you and your brothers, if y'all were fussing and fighting and could not get along with it, I mean like bitter enemies, do you think that would bother me and your mama?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so we can't say, you're talking about grieving the Holy Spirit, there's not much more of a way you can grieve the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, than to be treating other children of God in a negative, in a selfish way.
Which, you know, to kind of go back to this example that he's trying to apply of Jesus, I think it may be a more dramatic way of saying it, but I think it's a good way of pointing it out because this is kind of the way Paul lays it out. Are you really going to act like you're more important than Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because in a way, that's kind of what you're doing if you're not going to have the same attitude that Jesus did. I think another good connection we can make is back in chapter 1 and verse 27. It says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear that you are standing firm in one spirit and with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's another, both there and here in chapter 2, with verses 12 and 13, he's saying, listen, whether I'm here or I'm not, what y'all ought to be doing is humbling yourselves, being united so that you can have salvation and the Lord can work with you. So he's kind of reiterating this idea that he said in chapter 1 and verse 27 in that what shouldn't matter is whether I'm there to tell you off or not. What should matter is that you're reflecting Christ and not hate toward each other.
Yeah, and that idea is going to be, if you're wondering why we're being so emphatic about this, is because we've cheated and we've read ahead about what he's going to say next and what he's talking about here. But this idea of, others before self attitude is really going to be expressed in the next few verses that we're going to get to that helps us to see he's not, again, just talking about baptism or faith or repentance. He's talking about, you know, the way that we humble ourselves is a salvation issue. The way that we treat others is a salvation issue. Being uniters in the body of Christ rather than dividers in the body of Christ is a salvation issue, and we need to treat it as such.
Yeah, and it's not that you earn your salvation by doing this. And there's some kind of translations that with the wording would kind of lead you to think that that's what he's saying. It's not that you earn your salvation by having a good enough attitude about it, but it's that because Christ has already made that sacrifice, and because, especially to the Philippian church, you're supposed to already be living for him and have that salvation anyway. Don't let this be the reason that gets taken away. Don't let this be the thing. And again, he never tells us specifically what's going on and what's got, you know, what's upsetting the Philippian church, but whatever it is, it's not worth your soul.
Right.
So he says, don't let this be the thing that comes between you and the Lord, eternally.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, we have this attitude, that Jesus had and not let our own, pride and angst get in the way of our salvation, but be humble towards one another, reflect Christ, and in that the Lord can do a lot of good with us. We appreciate you dedicating 5 to 10 minutes with us every day, whether you are mowing the grass or just waking up or about to go to bed or anywhere in between, that you can continue with us in our study through Philippians. And we will be here again in chapter 2 next time on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.